So, it is great to be here for the blessings of Christ
on this 19th day of February.
Oh my goodness, you know, we're going to be out of February pretty soon, and then into the spring equinox. And nature is blessing us here in North Texas next week with a midwinter spring. You know, it's actually still midwinter, but it won't all be over. Let's put it that way. We always have an Arctic flash in March. But we're going to get a nice spring holiday next week. So we're looking forward to that. And I really, really suggest, just as a way of life for all of us, we find something to look forward to. And it may not be exactly the ideal thing we want, but as long as we have something forward to look for, to expect, it helps us to engage with the whole flow, the miraculous flow of blessings. Many of them come in forms we didn't think of, ask for, didn't even realize we needed until they arrived. And it's like, oh my gosh, I don't know how I could have lived without that. But we, as we're just a little bit, well, insecure about asking for blessings, like, well, am I really worthy for it? Or will it really happen? Because we don't want to be disappointed in God, ever, ever. So, not to be disappointed, we don't ask. And that's a human inhibition that causes us a lot of self-neglect. So, we are going to start our blessing call today with great expectations for our future. Sometimes it's a little hard if we review what's going on in the world. And we do have some really serious troubles for many people in the world. So we're going to remember them in our prayers today, in our blessings. And it's okay if you want to make a specific request for anyone, anywhere, suffering, needing help. Because I don't think anybody can receive too many blessings. So, Nancy, I'm going to turn this over to you. But first of all, I'm just going to say, hey, guys, come on board. It starts it to ask for a blessing. We have one, and everybody else is being shy. So we've got plenty of room for you.
We sure do.
You got it, Nancy.
Yeah, I'm so happy to be here. I always look forward to this hour together with everybody. So I'm going to start off by opening Stormy's line. Stormy, we're so happy you're here.
Yeah. I've really been thinking about my brothers, my older brothers' nephews, Graham and Clay. Never really had a conversation with them. But one of them works with the CIA, and I've really been thinking about him a whole lot lately for the last 2 weeks. So, and he got married last year, same age as my second daughter. They are, they're twins. But I just want to give a blessing, especially for the nephew who works with the CIA. Just really been on my heart lately and thought I would do that.
Okay, that's great, you know, and I think this sets a really good example, Stormy. And maybe people don't want to come on board to speak, to just simply ask for someone to be blessed. But what's wrong with that? We don't want to be blessed just because something's hurting or something's lost or there's a problem with a particular situation. There's no end to blessing. We can benefit by. And anyone you've been thinking about a lot lately is probably somebody who could use some blessings. So that was a great
also,
model.
Also, Glenda, yeah. I've given you a call a couple of times, but you're busy and haven't returned it. That's okay. But I've been thinking about George Bush and the fact that he is a painter, paints faces. And I've had a prayer out there that you might possibly have the opportunity to give him some art lessons. That's a pretty big prayer, but I'm putting it out there anyhow.
Okay.
He lives in Dallas.
That'd be really fun.
he lives in Dallas. He's just 30 miles away.
I've been
thinking about it. I've seen his artwork at the Foreign Legions just catty corner across the street from me. There where I wait breakfast or have a dinner sometimes. And his artwork is there of the faces that he's drawn. He draws really big. His faces are really, really big faces, you know, a sort of a bigger than life thing that he does. I've just been thinking about that lately, and who knows? I think about these things, so I'm putting it out there.
Well, yeah, you do think large, Stormy. I will tell you that. and good thoughts altogether. Thank you very much. I like that. Okay, well, we're gonna move on to our next caller, and I will return your calls and don't get through. So that's why I don't do it as often, but I'll try again. Okay?
Yeah.
You have a wonderful day, Stormy. Bye bye.
Yeah.
Thank you, Stormy. God bless. We have Helen, your line is open.
Hey, hi everybody, Helen here. Since the lines were open, I thought I'd like a blessing for my mom because she's over there, her sister's living, and she's lonely, and she's losing energy, and she really would like to live with us, but both my sister and I are just not able to look after her. So if Yeshua could comfort her and calm her so that she's more comfortable with the whole situation of being by herself, and also to ease her way back to heaven in comfort and peace, I think she would like that a lot. She would appreciate
it. Oh, I know she would. Yes, I will remember her for you every day.
Oh,
okay.
Thank you. All right, take care.
You too, and God bless you, Helen.
Thank you.
Helen, what's your mom's name?
Ellie. Well, the Greek word, her Greek name is Ezeli, with a soft Z sound. Zama, the letter Zama. So it's, the Greeks say it softly. It's not G, it's Z at the back of the tongue. So it's Ezeli. So it's
thank you.
Called, that's why everybody calls her Ellie.
Ellie, gotcha.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Helen. I think you started the ball in here. We've got a lot of our community members now.
Yeah.
Deb? Let's see. 503? Area code 503?
Hey there.
Oh,
hey,
that's
Nathaniel.
That's
Nathaniel.
Yeah, hi,
there we go.
Howdy.
Howdy.
I'm from Texas, but I can't beat the Texans out of the Oregonian. Or I live in Oregon, but can't beat the Texan out of me.
I know.
I want to send out a blessing for the waterways and the people in Ohio. It's a pretty big deal. My stepdaughter. I want to pray for her because my stepdaughter is 26 and she's moving to Cleveland next month. It kind of scares me a little bit, but I'm just praying for all the fish and wildlife and people and the water reservoir over there, and how it all goes to Louisiana and the oceans. It's just a terrible situation. And there's more than that. There's random chicken farms going on fire and food plants.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an interesting time with our supply chain. So I want to give a blessing to that. Also a blessing for my mom. She's, my dad passed away a year ago, and so I've been dealing with that, but my mom was alone.
Oh,
well,
I didn't know that. Oh, I'm so sorry. Nate.
Oh, yeah. It was a long decline of lose body syndrome, but he's fallen down a lot and had to live with him for a little while to help him out. But so my dad passed, and Well, my mom, she's been grieving, but, moving forward, and, plus she has a knee surgery coming up, so I'm gonna pray for her on that. Also blessing for my wife, that she may know Christ. There's a lot of resistance there. I shared last week where it looked like we're going to go to this Orthodox church together, but there's just a lot of resistance on her side. I'm just praying that Christ may know, she may come to know him without pressure from me, but, they're kind of walking a fine line there because she just doesn't know Christ, and it's no judgment on my part. Just it's nice to when the family can be on the same page with things. Beyond that, I just want to pray for our planet and that we're rising up to a higher level of consciousness. Lastly, I want to express that. I'm trying to help revitalize the Christ Blessings page on Facebook. I have like 500 some members there, but there's not much conversation, and that's fine. But
no.
I would like to help get more people to come on these calls. So with that, so maybe more conversation there or community that way perhaps could help. But, just want to thank you,
Nate. That's a great contribution. We really appreciate that because we've got so much to offer, and we don't ask anything in return. Just hope you do well with your life. That's it. We want to be a better force in the world on behalf of Yeshua.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you for everything, Nate, and I'll keep you in my blessings, too.
Thank you. You too.
You've been such a friend to our community for so many, many years. And, and actually I think that our friendship is a good model in a way for how to view the world. Because from the very beginning, you and I struck it off as great friends and alliance in spirit. Let's put it that way. You performed at some of our seminars, attended a number of them, and been in some classes, but then you had your baby boys, you had your family, you had your work.
Life is full.
this is the point I'm trying to make, is that life goes in measured variations from, none of it's bad, but you know what? Sometimes it's stressful to change, and we worry about when we change. Well, do I have to leave that behind? Well, for a while you do. For a while, you have to leave your dad behind, but you'll reconnect with him in the future. And this is part of life. I see people come on the blessing call. I haven't seen in maybe 2 years or heard from, but they're here. And they haven't forgotten about us, and we haven't forgotten them. Favorite callers, that I miss, I think of, hope that they're okay. And then suddenly, there they are again. And, it goes like that. That's life. We have these catastrophes in the world, which in some ways, from just the standpoint of nature, or just nature going through its various cycles. But in centuries gone by, it wouldn't have impacted a railroad train carrying deadly chemicals. So every new decade, every new way of life, every new situation brings more critical mass to our situation of living. And so we pray to be released from it. We pray that the power and the grace of God will lift us above it, and that we can learn from it so these things don't happen again. So we have to retain our faith in all things, because it's only through faith that we actually can move forward with all the fluctuations of life and know that the things that are truly important are still well in place.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Glenda.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Just felt like saying it because, you know, there's a lot of changes going on in the world, and some of them are very stressful. But we will get by them, and we will stay in place with the things that are most important to us. Okay, Nancy, who do we have next? Right.
Thank you, Nathaniel. We have Nancy, another Nancy. Your line's open.
Hello. I just want to have gratitude today. It's a beautiful day out there. All the branches that were broken have been taken away, and everything's coming back.
The
whites are blooming, and it's just lovely. And I just want to ask for blessings for my sister. She is doing all right after the brain surgery. She was having a lot of trouble with fatigue, and she found out it's the medicine that they're giving her. So they're cutting back on the medicine, and next week she'll be off it completely. And, I have health issues, and so I'm just going to say, God, take care of my health issues, or give me the strength to get through it. And just thank you. Thank you, thank you, all of you, for being there and helping me through the transitions or whatever's falling apart off me now. Thank you.
I love that, Nancy. I love that. And actually, just to remind everyone, the best invocation for a blessing is thank you for what I already have.
Yeah, thank you. That's it.
Okay.
Well, thanks for my friend.
All right. Thank you. Gratitude is the attitude, right? Okay, we have, hi, Susan. Can you hear us?
Hello, Susan.
Susan, are you open? You're up.
Unmute your phone, Susan.
Can you hear me now?
Yes,
we can hear you.
Okay. I was saying hi to you, to Nancy, to the community. I want to say a few things. The library offered a little mini seminar or whatever, event on essential oils, and I figured, well, I use a lot of them, so I just wanted to go. And the best thing I learned from it was she gave a handout of all the chemicals that are in everyday stuff, you know, and it was a very simple little sheet. And so I wound up revamping. I couldn't believe some of this. They were just like a handful of toxic chemicals, and they were in everything that I use. So I felt that was, that was really an eye-opener, and I was very, very grateful for that. I didn't expect it. I just thought I'd have a nice time and play with some essential oils or whatever, and mostly it was on, you know, all these chemicals that are really, you know, bad. And they mentioned that the fact that you use them all the time is the biggest problem because it's cumulative and so forth. But so, I thought that was worth mentioning. But also, a bigger thing is that I have a business. My son runs it, and he does a wonderful job. There is one person who works that he feels he needs, who's very talented, and he needs him. But he really, really, really has addiction problems. He has a lot of problems. And my son doesn't really know how to deal with it. And even if I say, why not mention going, because I do, go to, you know, going for a 12-step, you know, therapy, it doesn't cost anything. And so I don't know if he mentioned it. I just know that, you know, this is crummy. And I just want to, part of me wants to, you know, lash out. And the other part is, no, you have to put blessings around this guy. And his name is Jay. And he does need a lot of blessings. There's no question that he does. So, I just want to put a blessing out for him. And for Matthew too, because he's not a great team person here, you know, but, my son really feels that his expertise in what he does is invaluable. And so I just want put it out there for, regardless of what happens, put a blessing around him and my son and my business, which is Signorama. That's, you know, and put it in God's hands. So that's what I called for.
Okay.
Well, you know,
it's all good. And your recommendations were all good. And I'm sorry you found the chemicals, but I'm not surprised because they're in so many, so, so many products that we consume on a regular basis.
I'm so grateful I found it. And in fact, I want to send off a thank you to the person who ran the little seminar. You know, it was really eye-opening, and it was important for me to, you know, to do something, you know, the little bit that I could do, you know. So, wow, it's really incredible.
Well, it pays for all of us to be what I would call mindful. And mindful is not the same thing as judgmental. Mindfulness is a combination of curiosity, self-care, care for others, and making good decisions about how to live your life. It applies to everything from driving to preparing a meal to even having a conversation, to be mindful about what is the right thing to say, what is the right thing that will bring us into a common focus and agreement that we can be all of one spirit. And it's just focusing on that skill and cultivating it, and everything you do can make such a difference in your life.
Well, no doubt about it. No doubt about it.
Glenda, is that similar to discernment? Like in Love Without End, you always had said that discernment was like that which you mastered, and judgment was that which you still need to work on.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Well, you're going to learn that lesson. You're going to have to play this one out to learn that lesson again because you haven't learned it.
Well, exactly. Exactly. And that's just another word for mindfulness. And it's really the same thing. And when we are discerning or mindful, the reason I actually mindful has a little bit more holistic shall we say attitude than discerning, because discerning is usually focused on a particular decision that a person is going to make. You're trying to decide, am I going to travel by air, by car, by rail, and so forth. You know, you're making a decision, and you're looking at your options. It could be decisions at work. It could be decisions on which direction you're going to take in traffic to avoid a possible complication. And instead of judging the highway, say, oh, that highway is terrible, because it might not always be. And because the big highway, at certain times of the day, it might be the right way to travel. And discerning allows us to examine all of the options correctly. Now, mindfulness is not necessarily focused on any particular thing. It's an openness of mind, including the heart mind, the spirit mind, your brain mind for that level of intelligence, to just navigate a situation and examine how you're going to relate. So they're very similar. They're very similar because they both allow us to apply intelligence without judgment. So they're very similar. Yeshua and I just didn't use that word mindfulness in our original conversations. But many times since then, we've used it. It just didn't show up in a book.
I love it, though.
Right.
What a wonderful distinction. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thanks, Glenda.
You're welcome. All right.
Okie dokie.
Anything else, Susan? We'll definitely think of your son and your business and his challenge.
That's it makes me nervous. I mean, he's really, he's got a serious destructive bent, and I have no answers except, you know, offer what I could and put it in the hands of God and say, hey, this is too big for me. It just is. It's got to go in your hands. And if you want, guide me through what you want me to do, but I can't take it over. It's just not for me to take it over.
Well, that's a good realization for you. It's a very good realization for you, Susan, because sometimes we just have to say that. And that refers back to what I was talking about, mindfulness being holistic, because we're not capable of being holistic about another person's life. We don't know what other circumstances might be compelling that person into, well, substandard behavior, less than perfect behavior, let's put it that way. It probably has nothing to do with the behavior itself. It's probably something larger than that, that most people are not dealing with something larger, and therefore they obsess on the few things they think they can control. It's a deflected control mechanism, because we can't control everything in our life. That's why it really, really is a good thing to have a prayer life with God.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You can't have a better partner than that.
No. Absolutely.
Well, thank you, Susan. Thank it's such a great reminder. Thanks. Offering blessings is always the best, most wonderful place to start. When we don't know what to do, you know.
Yes,
absolutely.
It is.
Yep. Okay.
Well, we love you.
We love you, and God bless you too.
Thank you, sweetie. Love you. Love you all.
Okay, Glenda. We have Vicki. Hi.
Yes. Hi. I am happy to be. I'm sorry. What did you say?
Welcome.
I said hi.
Oh, okay. I thought there was something else.
I think it came across as hikem. I said, I'm welcome.
I think that's exactly what I heard, hikem.
Well, we invented a new word for you, Vicki.
Yes. Okay. I would like to ask a blessing for my cousin Clay. He is having an aortic aneurysm surgery tomorrow in Gainesville, Florida. And it's a very lengthy 8-hour at least surgery. And so I would pray for his, peace and the success of his surgery, and that his doctors and nurses and everyone involved, the equipment and everything, be blessed, and ask that Yahshua, please stand by him. And we send him love.
Yes, we do. Okay.
Yes.
We will remember him in our call today and in our blessings next week. So that's going to be tomorrow.
Yes. It starts, they think, around 8 o'clock in the morning, Eastern time. Yeah.
Okay.
So I would also like to, as you said, give thanks. In my invocation for saying, I'm very grateful to have a roof over my head. I moved to Lexington, Kentucky, recently, about 3 months ago. And I have learned recently that it is a very temporary move, which I was not aware of. Yes. So now I am, I'm going to say I am enthralled with the excitement of moving back to Florida. That would be my choice. However, I ask that God's blessings and direction and guidance be so ever present with me and lead me to pick up on and notice all the little things that might come into my world to help me navigate the fact that I am going to need to move again as soon as possible.
Where are you now, Vicki?
I'm in Lexington, Kentucky right now.
Oh, okay. Well, I remembered you were in Jacksonville, so.
Yes. I was in Jacksonville for quite some time, and yeah, and thought that the move to Lexington would be a permanent one. Then I found out that it is going to have to be a temporary one. And then I found out 2 weeks ago it's going to have to be a very temporary one. And I've been asked to look for where else I might be as soon as possible. So I am ready to explore. Very excited about it.
Well, that could be a great adventure for you.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. That's how I'm taking it. And I just ask God's blessings and also to help me be very proactive and attentive to any signs that I can be shown as to what is the correct direction for me to take as I pursue looking for where to be.
Okay. I would also recommend that you be in touch with friends and family, whoever you call upon as your allies in living, because they will help you have an expanded perspective and be in an active prayer life and be in an active outreach with just people around you. You just never know who the Holy Spirit will speak through.
That's so true. In fact, if I could quickly tell you what I experienced today, have you or any of the people on the call today heard about the Asbury University revival that began spontaneously a couple of weeks ago? It's in Kentucky. It's, in fact, only about a half hour away from Lexington, and I went over to it today. There are people from all over the world that have begun coming in, massive amount of people, and beautifully organized. The university has just done a beautiful job in monitoring this whole thing because it has grown. But it's been a constant prayer, praise, singing. I witnessed people praying over those that were in wheelchairs, and one beautiful young woman that could barely stand, and just so much love, and beautiful people were all over. The auditoriums and the chapels were filled, and so people were outside on very large plots of a beautiful yard there around the buildings at that university, and they have what would you call screens, monitors set up, large ones, so that anyone that comes in can watch and listen and participate.
Oh, that sounds beautiful.
Is that something?
I have not heard about this, Vicki. Tell us again, you spoke a little quickly when you said, have you heard about?
Okay. What? It is at the Asbury, A-S-B-U-R-Y, University, in Wilmore, Kentucky, which is only a half an hour from Lexington.
Asbury University. Okay.
Yes.
And
it's a theological university.
I see. Okay. Yeah. I will check it out.
Yes, it's all over. You can just Google Revival Asbury University, and you'll see many links to see what's going on and how it began. It was very spontaneous.
Well, I like that very much. That sounds like something we all could enjoy and benefit by.
Well, it's a demonstration. Sure. It's just a demonstration, I feel, of how devoted people are to knowing Yeshua and to living the light and being very actively involved in bringing forth that love that is so needed on our planet right now.
Yes. We need a revival, for sure. In many, many ways, on many levels. And I'm so glad to hear about that. And, you know, it just you responded instinctively and spontaneously to my suggestion that you reach out further and you let others speak to you from the Holy Spirit, because sometimes inside we can go in circles. You know, I can tell you for a fact I've done that, so I know what the inside hamster wheel looks like. You know, we think we've got the answer, we pray about it, we think we've got a confirmation, but we're not sure, so we go back on the hamster wheel and we think it over again and again and again, and we look for outside confirmation, but we keep going back to the hamster wheel. Well, this is what I'm thinking, this is what I think I need to do. And it really helps to let the Holy Spirit speak to you from other directions that are, well, shall we say, worthy. I'm not talking about evening news. I'm talking about friends, family, or events like this where people come together for purposes of loving and uplifting one another. So you responded perfectly to what I was talking about. You know, go to your local church or go to a spiritual group that you really trust. Go out to dinner with friends. Look for answers coming to you from a larger realm, because the Holy Spirit has no parameter. It has no parameter. You cannot put a fence around it. You cannot put it inside a bottle, and not even if you're the bottle. Okay? And talking to ourselves can sometimes get us into a restless night, where it's hard to sleep because we keep thinking and going over the same things and not getting answers. So go outside the box and listen. Listen.
Thank you, Vicki.
I know that the answers are there, and I am so grateful. And I love you all. And thank you so much.
You are so welcome.
You sound so, it's inspirational how you sound so open and excited and not defeated, or, you know, there's so many other ways you can get this, and I just love how you're being just really upbeat and excited and are open, so that's really how the Holy Spirit will respond, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. That's because God has a good plan for you, and you know it.
Yes, ma'am, I do, and my heart is full, yes. Love you all. Have a wonderful Sunday.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Glenda, we have Christopher. Welcome.
Hey. Hi, Glenda. Hi, Dan. Hello. Hi, everybody. Oh, so first I just want to say it always amazes me how connected we all are, you know. People bring things like in advance of what I am going to ask for blessings about, and sometimes I have a little confusion about what blessing to ask, you know. I know who it's for, but I don't quite understand, and so people bring these questions, like Susan's son's employee with the addiction. It made so much sense, and Nathaniel's desire for his wife to meet Christ, it all kind of feeds into what I'm praying about, so I'm just so grateful. And bless you, everybody. Love you all so much. The sincerity of our communal listening and sharing is just so powerful. And I have three blessings. One is for a friend, Forrest. He's had a lot of problems with his knees. He's very young, actually, to be having such problems with his knees, but it's keeping him from being able to work, and I think he's feeling really lonely and dejected, and I don't think he really understands how worthy he is. he is the most special person. Very, very sensitive, you know? So I just pray for a blessing for his healing and really discovering his worth and value and how much God loves him.
Amen.
And how much we love him. And then I don't know if Samantha will come on today. Samantha, my friend who's been calling in, I just found out her mother is in stage 4 cancer. And
no.
Yeah, we didn't know what it was. She had a pneumonia earlier this in the winter and around Christmas time. Anyways, they found out that there's stage 4 cancer, and she's deciding this week what she wants to do about it. And so I'm just asking for blessings for Samantha, her mother, their family, and her mother's decision about how to go forward.
Okay.
And
that's good.
Her mom's name is Deborah.
Prevail.
What was that, Glenda?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, so Deborah is her name. And the last blessing is for my ex-partner. And, you know, part of what people shared earlier, I think, really feeds into this. And what you said about, you know, if somebody's in your mind a lot, it's somebody who needs a blessing. So I go over and over. There's been a lot of challenges in trying to maintain a friendship. And there's been some really, really dark things that happened. So I've been doing a lot of my own inner work to work on that. And then I find at the end of the road, it's pray for him. Pray for him. You know? So I just want to send out a blessing to him. And that, you know, he can find God. And that he can deal with those addictions. And that whatever it is within me that drew that in can also be healed. So thank you. That's my prayer, my request.
Absolutely. You know, it's very, very possible, Christopher, this is just a sideline comment. It's very possible that we can love someone forever, pray for them, bless them, wish them all the best, even watch out for them, and also let them go. And the reason I'm saying that is because the other person may be suffering also at not being able to let go when they really need to. And when something has been actually finished as an active relationship, it can become an enduring relationship. And I'll give you the greatest example in the Bible. It has to do with the creation of the seventh day. Our Heavenly Father wrapped it up with the creation of all of us. And then he let go and he rested. It didn't mean he stopped loving. It didn't mean he stopped supporting. It didn't mean he stopped making, caring and making a difference. But the active relationship of, hey boys, let's go do this. We still got some suns and moons to create. Get busy, guys. That all ended on the success. So that's a beautiful example. Another beautiful example is, after the resurrection, Yeshua, was a little bit remote for a while, and then he re-engaged for purposes of preparing the apostles for the fact that he was going. And they said, can we go with you? And he said, no. Where I'm going, you cannot go. He made it very clear that they had to walk the path themselves. And I tell you what, it's a hard thing to hear from someone who has really directed and saved your life and
picked
you up highest realms of existence. And they're going to say, look, I'm going to cut the cord and let you go. Why would he do that? Because they had to earn their right to learn what they had learned. They had to demonstrate it through the development of their own life. And the fact is, we won't let go of somebody we love if we think maybe they need us. But if a relationship has come to a cutting edge, a point where it's no longer serving the original empowered connection, it may need to go on to a form of passive love. And it's something to think about. It may not be at all relevant to this particular relationship, but I think it's something we all need to think about, because I don't know of anybody I've ever counseled that didn't have at least one person who was special in their life, and they're still worried about that person, and worried about, well, should I reconnect? I wonder if I was guided going on my way. Is there anything I can do for this? I've not met one person that doesn't have that thought.
And wow.
My answer is, let them go. They're going to be fine. You know, the thing is, the world doesn't hang on your hand.
Yeah.
It hangs on God's hand. And you may need to use your hand to do a different work.
Uh-huh.
And there's
That's
joy in that.
Thank
actually,
you for that.
There's actually joy in that, Christopher. I learned that from Yeshua because he helped me to let go of some early friends that I just loved, like brothers and sisters. And we didn't have anything in common anymore. And I was really, I was really torn. Well, did I betray them by moving on into a life they couldn't relate to? And he said, no. But he said, you might be tormenting them by hanging on to them. That's in common. And I did, you know, I encountered a few of them at a class reunion, and we were so glad to meet each other, and they were really glad for me, and I was really glad for them. And oh my gosh, it was like, there was no hang up.
Wow.
Okay. The world does not hang on your hand. And let that
well, that's started. What I was going to say. I could use some help on that then for a blessing for me that I can see that need to control or, you know, that ego-based motivation to try to control it.
Don't we all,
let that go. Heal that.
Yeah. Yeah, really. I don't know of one of us that hasn't had that problem at least a little bit. especially parents letting go of kids. Oh, my gosh. How are they going to live without me?
I can't even imagine how hard that one must be.
Yeah. How are they going to live
without
me? Oh, my goodness. You know. And me letting go of teachers that shaped my life. Am I going to make I can't call them anymore. I can't ask them. I can't show them a painting. Oh, my gosh, my paintings are going to fall apart. No, they're not. They're going to become my paintings now instead of our paintings.
Thank you, Glenda. That was perfect for me right now. And thank you for everyone for the blessings so much.
We all need to learn that, Christopher. We really do. We all need to learn that because he let go of the apostles for the same reason. He truly let them go. Even if they suffered, even if they were in prison, even if they were tortured, he let them go because they had to learn their own lessons. They had to shape up the apostolic story in order to create a church that people could relate to. The apostles were his link to humanity, the way humanity thinks and lives. This is why he could appear on a hill to give a message. And maybe 5,000 people would show up, but that's nothing compared to all the people that were in the world that didn't care. How are we going to reach the people that don't care? Well, partly because we're not speaking their language. So, you guys, go out to the world. Don't take anything with you except your sandals and a knapsack. I mean, literally, he told them that. Why? Because he wanted them to depend on the people he would meet. Because then they would learn their language. They would learn how they live. They would learn their values. So then the apostles could speak into the lives of the people that they met.
Yeah. And so much suffering could be had if you're so attached and you think, he's abandoned me, rather than he set me free to go do my work.
Exactly. And that's what so many people do not understand.
Wow.
He set them free as an act of honor.
and respect that he really believed that each one of them would make a profound difference and contribution to the future life of this civilization of the world, and actually build a civilization, which they did.
Mm-hmm.
12 men plus others, right, somewhat unknown to us, and many women literally created a civilization out of a hunk of clay. They had almost nothing to work with, but they did it because they found the power within themselves. And that's what we have to discover. When something or someone cuts us loose, it might be a job that cuts us loose, a career that cuts us loose. It might be a location that cuts us loose. Or we have to cut something else loose. And I have the courage to do that, my friend, because mm-hmm. you are a sovereign person, and so are they. You have to learn to stand in your sovereignty, and so does everybody else you have known and loved. You have to let them stand in their sovereignty.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of us are meant to walk together for a lifetime. Some of us meet and we just know, oh my gosh, I've been waiting forever for you to show up in my life. And we're meant to work. We're meant, and you know it when it happens, but that doesn't happen for everybody. And you cannot hang on at the expense of violating someone's sovereignty. You just can't do it.
Yes.
Thank you, Claudia. Thank you, Christopher, for bringing that
that's
up.
That's a good
I'm
one.
Of the, yeah, I'm one of the ones that was a relevant point for sure. So that was so helpful, you know, for many of us.
For all of us. You know, we're all chewing on that one, Nancy. I mean, we really are.
Yeah. But I really like that, to just, you know, pass, you know, let them, you know, go on to a form of passive love and then set them free as an act of honor and respect. That you know, puts everything into the right priority, really.
Yeah.
All the way up to the highest of the highest.
Yeah. Well, you're really good at that, helping us. Thank you, Christopher, for bringing that. You know, you were talking about what other people bring in. You brought something in that someone else needed, too. So thank you for that.
Yes.
Thank you all. Much love to you. Thank you. Every week, it's a blessing to be here. Yeah.
Well, we have a few more. Thank you, Christopher. Let's see, Glenda. We have
Sarah.
Hi.
Aloha, Glenda and Nancy, and to this beloved community. And yes, we are all so tuned in to the same needs and prayers. And I just, each person that speaks is like, whoa, touches my heart so much. And I just felt like opening up and also just sharing my authenticity and vulnerability with a couple of prayers. And one is, it's just what we were just discussing, and just really how to be with my dad as he heals, and then just realizing the depth of the effects of alcohol and what that's doing, and it's just like how I can be with that and how I can let go. And I just, yeah, I need Yeshua's help with that. How to be of service and also know that I'm not in control of that, or of anything besides how I respond to life. So I ask for prayers for help for that, for me and for all, and also prayers for just the ongoing, way with my brother and me of how we work through some differences and differences of how we see things, right? And so just calling in a prayer for all brothers and sisters, all siblings, and that we, how we work through with clarity and with peace and justice for all. That's it.
Well,
just that.
That's a big one. That's a big one, and it's one that fits us all. Sometimes one size does fit all. That's a good one.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
God bless you.
We love you.
And we think about your daddy, Peter, every week, so we know he's going to get stronger.
Yes. Amen.
Have a great week, Sarah, and thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you.
We now have Stormy's back, Glenda.
Okay. Stormy, you're back.
Yeah. I wish to give thanks to Christopher, for I have a revelation in that some 20 years ago, Jesus asked me to walk on my own. And I come to realize that that is because he knew that I have found the true love within myself, that I could walk independently.
Amen. Amen. That is so amazing. You know, he really trusted you to be your sovereign self. And that's a great blessing, Stormy. That has allowed
And he also asked me, while I'm doing something different than the rest of humanity, not that there aren't more people like me, but he says, Ben, come and play me some of Stormy's music. And so I do that.
That's great. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Oh, he does like music, for sure. Well, thank you for sharing
that
with
thank
me.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah, bye-bye.
And we have our last caller, community, and this is Helen.
Hey, that young man with his question was fantastic, and it really, it's a lesson that I feel the same way. Are we our brother's keeper? What does it mean to be our brother's keeper? To what degree do we get, like I'm always telling my young sister who took 3 shots, you've got to read this, you've got to read that, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, and she resents it. Twin sister who doesn't believe in God, you know, and yet I keep telling her, Naske, you're a good person, you obviously do, you just haven't thought it through yet, and you haven't felt it quite the way when it's going to hit you. And she's resented when I push them.
My answer to that, Helen, is we are not everybody else's parents. Okay, there's a difference between a parent and a brother. A brother gives you need when you ask for it. He's there. He cares for you. He watches out for you. If he sees danger coming, he'll point out the danger. He may step in to protect you and so forth. Just note the difference between a parent and a brother. Parents have the God-given right to overreach into their child's life as long as the child is a child. But when the child is an adult, it's very necessary to let go, because a parent's not going to let go of their tendency to overreach, to over-instruct,
yeah,
to over-protect. Parents will just do that.
Yeah.
But it's so important just to let them go. Let them find their own legs, and let them find their own way through life. And this is biblical. This starts in the book of Genesis and is repeated numerous times through the Bible. Brother keeper does not imply, it just means to respect and we extend that to our whole fellow man, okay, as brothers and sisters, for all of us. To live with respect, to live with tolerance, for the fact that we're not all going to agree, we're not all going to do things the same way, we're not all going to believe the same thing. So we're tolerant. We try to conduct our life in a way that benefits as many others as possible, although we cannot know people we've never met and what they would like. We do the best we can with what we know, with what we've been given to observe. And we be kind. That we be kindful, mindful, thoughtful, loving, and caring.
Wow. It's almost a relief to let go of feeling responsible for them all wanting them to read the stuff I've been reading or sharing. But it's a relief at the same time. I'm not responsible for their choices.
you're not. And here's something you need to cure out. All, and I'm talking to all of us when I say you, is the feeling of guilt if we don't do something. Like if we've got a brother, a sister, or a good friend who's an atheist, and we know they're going in the wrong direction, and we think, I'm going to feel guilty the rest of my life if I don't do something about this. That's not your responsibility. Now, you could give them some of your thoughts from time to time, but not in the sense of pushing it on them. You could give them some things to think about. Like, are these things you're wanting to see done for the planet? Are they things you can do yourself? Well, who would you call on to do them? Just give them things to think about.
Rather than instruct or lecturing.
No lecturing. Lecturing is not being a good brother or sister. They don't want that. It'll push them away, actually.
Yeah.
It really
yeah.
will. And over-controlling will do the same thing. Mm-hmm. So I think the first two steps we need to do in order to be a good brother and sister is, first of all, stop judging. Second of all, cure your guilt about whatever you may or may not have done or left undone, which you think was your responsibility, but it isn't. It isn't. And then be willing to let them go and still love them, so that you're ready and able to help when and if they ask for it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I tell you, this is a big, big lesson. You know, Greeks are very good at telling you what to do all the time. It's like a national. Yeah.
Well, they were very good at telling the whole world what to do. Created some of the some of our great philosophies.
Oh, yeah. Well,
so,
thank you, Helen. Thank you.
God bless Greece. Thank you. And God bless you. Okay.
God bless you, Helen. Okay, we do have one more caller. We have time for Robert.
Yeah, you got to be quick. Hi, Tina. You got to be quick because we had to get our blessing, but we wanted to take it.
Yeah, very quick. Oh, thank you. Thank you for everything that's been spoken. It's just so important for me to hear. Exactly. All the things that I'm not going to repeat. So I quickly want to ask for a blessing. For me, respecting Sarah's child, young adulthood, and which is kind of difficult. And also I want to ask for a blessing for myself to move forward and for courage and protection for what I'm going to do next. And yes, especially on my relationship with Sarah. And so very quickly, we were in a point where we were not talking, and now we were actually agreeing that we would meet again when we don't talk. But we go on motorcycles together, and so which is so nice, so we hang on to each other. It's so sweet.
Yes, it is.
And well, just not to talk about that subject. And so, yeah, I just want to ask for a blessing, and that I'm going to be strong and respectful.
Thank you. You will be. And I hold you in my heart dearly and deeply. Okay. Well, everybody, let's just wrap up our conversation and move to the quiet part of our being where we are ready to relax and receive and be in a state of union with our Heavenly Father. And, you know, I was talking about sometimes you just have to ask the right question to somebody who's being a little bit argumentative, especially about God, because I don't want to be, I want to be a messenger. I don't want to be a preacher. And something came up the other week, about a week ago. With someone I was conversing with in a cafe where I went to have some breakfast. And they knew that I was in ministry. And they said, well, are you just exclusively Christian? And I said, well, I never had the thought that Christianity was exclusive. And they said, well, what do you do about other gods like Rama and Vishnu and Shiva? And I said, well, I respect the beliefs of everybody, because anybody that is reaching up higher, especially above themselves and above anything that they can see or touch, whatever the Almighty ultimately is, they'll get there. And if they go through or with other beings that have presented themselves as God, well, as long as you're moving up, the way out is up, and you will eventually reach the Almighty Creator. And they said, well, what if we are having a problem? Who do we pray to? And it just came out of my mouth. I mean, this is like I would say to a child. It's an example of how sometimes you can just respond. And I said, well, who would you call daddy? And they dropped the fork. And they said, I've never heard anyone say anything that touched my heart more. I said, yeah. I mean, if you're going to have surgery, it's not a religious situation. It's not a religious service. You're going to call for daddy. And I said, who do you call daddy? And it changed their lives. A simple little question like that. And I didn't have to preach, or I didn't have to cite, oh, you know, these other entities we call gods, or they're not really gods. Well, they're valuable to that person. They're valuable to that person's religion. And their religion is an upward climb to heaven. So fine. But when you really, really need, when you're getting ready to leave this world and you're lying on a bed and the next moment you may be in heaven, who are you going to call daddy? And it changed everything. It changed, I mean, their faces lit up, their eyes lit up, and they had a revelation they'd never before had in their life. So let's get ready right now to be with daddy, okay? And I want you to shake out, stretch the hands out, shake your neck, move around in your chair so that you're, relaxing your back, okay? Just relaxing your back. And I'm going to change my... Yep, but not me. Okay. So we're going to stretch your legs out and move it in small circles if you can. If you can. Both of them. Okay? And this might be okay for you to do right now. If you have water handy, take a sip of water. But something to remember for future blessings, and I should have mentioned this more frequently than I have, but be hydrated when you receive your blessing. Here's the thing. It's going to be conveyed energetically. Not with words, not with pictures, not with agendas. It will be conveyed energetically so that it will activate within you the imprint that God has already placed there. It will activate your potential. Now, let's just compare that to a situation of engineering in life, in the world. If you're standing in a puddle of water and you touch a hot wire, you might be electrocuted, okay, because energy travels far more potently and richly and powerfully through a hydrated conveyance. So I always bring in 3 glasses of water while I'm getting ready for the blessing. And that's for exactly that purpose. And of course, our blessing givers are taught that in their seminars. One of our teachings is to be hydrated. Well, as a receiver, things work better if you're hydrated as well. And we also want to get, an intentional, aware concentration on your breath, which we've given you to practice as a 4-square breath, which is to focus upon the fact that your breath really has 4 actions. The exhale is 1. The in-between exhale and inhale is another. And then the inhale is 1. And then the in-between that and the exhale. The in-betweens can be extended and lengthened. And actually, it's extremely beneficial if you do extend them. You know, now if you've been running a mile, your inhale and exhale are going to be so rapidly, one after the other, that in between is going to barely be noticed, but it's still there. If you were on a meter, it would show up as an interval because you have to change over from exhale to inhale the way your lungs work, the way your diaphragm works. And there is an interval. It might be only a second long, but it's there. Now, as we learn to extend it, we open the possibility for a little more mindfulness about the benefits of giving breath into life. Kind of like putting your efforts into life. So often, we put our efforts into life and we don't pause even for a second to think about what benefits our efforts into life brought to others or to the world or to nature or our friends or family, whatever our efforts were directed toward. We don't pause to think about what benefits we contributed. We're just ready to get our paycheck and then inhale, take air back, take a big breath back in, and then we just take for granted that our body knows what to do with it. Well, basically and essentially, of course, our body knows what to do with it. But if we give a little pacing to that, our body can more appropriately prepare to be ready to receive the breath and then convey it to all the systems of our body. So we're not trying to hit everything at once in a split second. We're giving mindfulness again. Okay. And this is, Nancy, this would be an example of where mindfulness would be different from discernment. We're giving mindfulness, which is awareness. We're invoking awareness into all of these actions. And in doing that, we eventually begin to realize that all of life is the giving, the pausing, and the receiving of blessings. And the pausing before even receiving them. It teaches us to be patient. It teaches us that waiting is an important part of life. It teaches us that the distribution of blessings is an important management of life. So I would really recommend that you master what we call a 4-square breath. It can do wonders for you in just a couple of minutes at work. You're stressed. You don't know what to do. You're pressed to make a decision. And the best decision you can make at that point is to sit quietly and do a few 4-square breaths, because it will put the rhythm of life back into your stride. And I chose the word stride instead of control, because we don't utterly control anything, but we can pace ourselves so that the pacing gives us the feeling of being in control of our choices, our decisions, and our movement through life. And that's a very, very comforting feeling. So we're going to begin our blessing with a 4-square breath. And we go to the count of 4 just to implement the number of 4 one more time. It's 4 times 4 by the number of 4. So 4 times 4 divided by 4 is 1. And that brings you back to yourself. So let's just do that a few times. But you count to your 4. Because it's your rhythm, your pace, your timing, and your blessing. So let's get ready. Let's just do that. Let's all of us together exhale to the count of 4. Relax to the count of 4. Inhale to the count of 4. And now receive fully to the count of 4. Now if you will continue, I will offer my prayer to Yeshua, because he says to us, ask that you shall receive. Lord of life, brother to us all, Messiah, teacher, revealer, Son of God, we come before you with humble spirit and joyful soul, that we ask for our needs and know in full they will be provided for. On behalf of us all here in this congregation, I ask that you hear the request, take them to heart, and give them in the due timing of our Heavenly Father. We ask for all things good. We ask that you comfort those, especially who are in deep stress of catastrophes they have suffered. And there are many in the world right now. Times are extreme for these people, and they even forget to breathe. Show them, we ask that you are there. You are with them all, and you are working through this with those who are first responders, responsible workers, to bring everything to an optimum resolution. We ask for healing for the earth that has been damaged. We ask for the towns that have been destroyed. We ask for people who have lost their loved ones. We ask for comfort in grief, that we may know that on the other side of all grief is reunion with our Father in heaven. We ask that you be with those who are afraid because of damages happening to others, that we not cultivate a widespread field of fear, but that we have courage and we have faith and we have optimism that together we can pull together and prevent more such events, that we can rejoice in faith knowing that that will change the world, that that will change it and move it forward into better times, happier events. We ask that the hungry be fed. We ask that the children be hugged and loved and cared for and be prevented from suffering so much fear and pain. We ask for the sick that they be healed
if not in body, at least in soul, in mind, in faith, that they may be rewarded with a higher path in life. We ask for those striving to create a better tomorrow, that they may find their pathway, that they may let go of all the pathways that didn't work and don't work, without guilt, only with lessons that they carry forward, and new optimism and faith for a brighter future. We ask blessings for everyone we have loved, that our love may actually have counted in their life. It's so important for us, Yeshua, to know that our love matters. And that's one of the reasons we hang on and we never let go, because we want more than anything, we want to know that our love counts and our love matters. Help us to know that love is who we are, and it will always matter because it takes us to the heart of God. All of these things, we kneel at your feet and we say, Amen. In your name, in your holy name, Amen. Blessing givers, will you join me now in conveying the blessings of Christ to all of our community and everyone who shall breathe the air of our community in so many ways, and the dreams and the hopes, the prayers and the gifts of our community, and everyone everywhere who seeks your presence. Amen. Blessing givers, join me now. Amen. Amen. And amen. Your blessing has been given. Now, you must continue to receive. Lie down and just be quiet. Become a whiteboard upon which the love of God is written. Your blessings are written for you to discover in the days ahead, or maybe in the minutes ahead, whenever, or the months ahead, they shall come in the timing of God. And you shall know them when I come. Bye-bye for now. I wish you a wonderful week, as always, and look forward to being with you again next week. Bye-bye for now.